To what event were you ever invited to in which you were the greatest guest? To what event did you rejoice that you happened to be a guest there? We were invited to a presidential inauguration party. What about an elaborate wedding? Someone of great wealth. You ever been invited to be a guest at a backstage for a hot ticket? To what event in your life were you invited in which you had a place to be a great guest? In the parable of the banquet, our Lord laments as he shares a parable among scoffers and unbelievers. Jesus says that the kingdom of God is likened to that of a king who invites people to a wedding banquet. Now, we know we have wedding receptions that last one evening, but in Jesus' day, wedding banquets lasted sometimes many nights or a week. And so the kingdom of God is compared to a king who invites people to a great banquet, and the invited guests refuse his invite. So he goes out and sends his prophets, and they refuse him, and he sends out his son, and they refused him. And eventually the king goes out and he invites people from the byways and the highways. He invites all to be his guests as his eternal banquet. Well, you know, for God so loved the what? World. They gave his only begotten what? Son. You see, Jesus and our Heavenly Father know what it's like to say, come be my guest. He invites all to the banquet hall to be his guest, the message of the kingdom. In the heartwarming and Disney classic, what's the movie? What is it? Beauty and the Beast. The consequences of being a rude guest is shown. The pain and penalties of not showing hospitality is shown. As the handsome prince who is raised in luxury with an elite lifestyle, he refuses to give hospitality to someone who cloaks herself in poverty in old age. And hence, a cast is placed upon him and his whole kingdom. And unless the unconditional love of someone comes and breaks it, by the time the last petal falls from the rose, though they'll be eternally like that. The story Beauty and the Beast shows the penalty and the consequences of being a rude host, of not showing hospitality. Now you know the story. Who comes and turns the beast's heart? What's her name? Bella. It's a tale as old as time. The unconditional love of a heroine who comes and saves the kingdom and the prince from doom. Be my guest. Hospitality. Talk about Disney and guests. Last summer, my wife and I, we went on our first cruise to Alaska. It was a Disney cruise. Now, Disney cruises are more expensive. Don't worry, Lisa worked overtime. We got all taken care of, okay? So we went on a Disney cruise. It was a wonderful experience. Some people say, you're on a Disney cruise. Yes, where are your children? They're grown. Grandchildren don't have any yet. Then what are you doing on a Disney cruise? Well, we heard about their exceptional hospitality, how true it is. Known as cast members, our host didn't miss a beat. The second night, and the servers traveled with us for our meals. They knew I didn't like onions and I liked diet soda. The third night, we were talking about our children. The fourth night, we were exchanging pictures of our family. Disney hospitality is unparalleled. Now, by the way, I'm not a servant for Disney, so if you get a Disney cruise, mention my name. No, I'm not that, okay? Just kidding. But Disney is unparalleled. Literally, Walt Disney, in his Imagineering, as people would say it, in his innovativeness, he literally wrote the book of what it means to show hospitality and care. And as we left the boat, we disembarked, the captain shook all of our hands, and I told my lovely wife, Lisa, how'd they do it? How did they show such exceptional care? Everything was first class. If someone didn't know any different, they'd have thought that the Disney cruise was the ship. Because everybody said hi to each other. There was not one foul language or swear word heard around the boat, and the care and the love reverberated among all the guests. If I didn't know the difference, I'd have thought that I'd been in church. When I left the Disney cruise, I thought I'd be going into the world. They know how to give hospitality. You been to Disneyland? Have you been to Disney World? You been on a Disney cruise? What's the point of Disney? To make sure the customer comes back. 70% of Disney customers return. I'm ready for this. More Americans have been in Disneyland, Disney World, or Disney cruise than they have been to our nation's capital. Be our guest. They know about it. We're planning to go on another one, so my wife's working really hard. I'm just kidding. I'm working hard too, okay? Just kidding, okay. Anyways, that's a Disney cruise. Another picture of that there. Be our guest. In today's Old Testament lesson, Abraham, he sees some guests in the hot summer sun coming to him, and he rushes out to greet him, and he shows loving and exceptional hospitality to his guests. Matter of fact, they're just not any guests. They are God himself in the flesh, and they are angels. And Abraham shows himself to be a true host, sharing caring hospitality. Now remember, this is before the days of 7-Eleven or mega truck stops with all the amenities or 24-hour McDonald's and 24-hour Walmarts. There's no place open. There's no Motel 6s that keep their lights on. Abraham shows loving care and hospitality. Abraham ran out to greet him. He got out of his comfort zone. And sometimes God sends you and me people. They are our guests, and they call us out of our hospitality. These are divine guests with a divine message. And Abraham overprepared. His wife made 20 quarts of bread dough and overprepared the choice calf, milk, and the fixings with the meal. He says, "Be my guest." And they share a message which causes Sarah to laugh. But either way, Abraham is a wonderful host and shows true hospitality, just like Disney does. True hospitality, be my guest. Let me put you in a cool place. Here's a wonderful meal. What can I do to make you feel comfortable? What a true host he is. So a Lutheran question is this. The Lutheran question is, what does this mean for us? What does that mean for us? Well, for the church, it means be our guest. You know, xenodokia. Now, in American society, we hear about xenophobes. People are afraid of strangers. But really, the message of the church is xenodokio, servant for a stranger. That's called hospitality. The word for hospital, be our guest. And the early Christian church, all churches or monasteries had hospitals. There's a place of hospitality. They took Jesus' words serious, just not to care for the soul of a person, but to care for their physical needs. The early church took Jesus' request to share his love and to help those who are sick and help those who are down and out. And the early church formed hospitals. They were the first agency ever by contributions and by offerings to provide to help the physical needs of those who were ill or in distress. The first doctors were priests. The first Christians, the first doctors were Christians who took our Lord's words serious. Be our guest. This is hospitality. The word hospital, xenodokia, care for a stranger. Now this is what Luther said. This is what St. Paul says. Notice he says this to the leaders of the church. To be given to hospitality. The church is to be here to be a host for others. What else does St. Paul say? Offer, go ahead, read that to me. Read it, so I'll read it. Offer what? I thought St. Paul might know he was talking to Lutherans in the future. I don't know. Okay. Sorry. Martin Luther says this. There is hospitality where the church is. To the church, for the church is the house of Abraham for all. That's what the church is here. He pulls back to Abraham's hospitality for him saying, "Let be my guest." And notice what else does Luther say? The church is a place of what? Refreshment for the weary. 6 years ago, East Peoria, was affected by a tornado which destroyed some homes and damaged some homes. But it was the community to the east of us that felt the brunt of that tornado. 120 homes were destroyed, times two damaged. Just east of us on a Sunday morning in 2013. However, it was the LCMS church that got damaged and the parsonage next door. So when Lutheran social services and Lutheran caring agencies that helped those affected by disasters came in, the first thing they did is they fixed up the pastor's home. Back to how it was, back to how it needed to be. Now the pastor didn't have to worry about his home. The next thing they fixed up was the LCMS church. Back to perfection, how it was. Now the church can function. The next thing they cleaned up was the debris and all the trees and other sort of debris that blew into the church parking lot. They brought in chainsaws and cleared it off. And now the church parking lot was open and ready to serve. And that LCMS church served as a focal point, as a hub to bring help to 120 homes literally destroyed, times two homes damaged. Aid was given. Even state agencies came and used the facilities to help cooperate, to rebuild homes, to help those who were injured, to provide meals and other necessities, just not for Washington, but for areas around them. Even the governor of Illinois praised the Lutheran Church and their response in Washington. The church became what? A place of refreshment for the weary. The church became a place where hospitality was given, that even the state recognized it. Last week, someone met with me and said, "Pastor, what would we do if we ever had a tragedy in Defiance? How could St. John help? Could our gym be a place of refuge where people could sleep? Could our cafeteria and kitchen be open to serve meals?" My hope and prayer is what? Yes, and even more. For St. Peter's, when that tornado came, we discovered that it wasn't the community that needed our many meals, but the first responders. There's no place for them to eat. So we made hundreds of meals, delivering them to first responders, because that's where the need was. My hope and prayer is, and hopefully it never happens in Defiance, that should a disaster or tragedy happen, that our church would be the focal point. Why? What does Luther say? The church is a place of what? Refreshment for the weary. Notice, a house of Abraham for all. Be my guest. What else does this mean for us? That our homes and lives, we likewise would sell to others, be our guests. Just not our church, but our own homes. Interesting home there. I wonder who lives there, okay? Anyways, can you read that for me? Yeah, Christ is the unseen guest. Do you have Christian art or symbolism in your home? Do you have crosses or pictures of Christ? Maybe pictures of the Nativity or the risen Lord? My parents still have my confirmation cross that was given a gift to me on my confirmation day in their home. And Lisa and I, we have Christian symbolism in our house too. It shows others we're Christians. That's a wonderful saying as well. But beyond symbols and beyond pictures of our Christian faith, the basic word is, would we be willing to open our home to exiles and to those who need care? Let's go ahead and hear what Martin Luther says. Read that for me. That's a tough one, but that's what our homes are there for. When I was a little boy, I think God put a picture in my head for me to remember forever. When I was a little boy, I was on the front porch with my brother and my mother. It was one of the hot days like we had last week. And here the garbage men came. And this is back in the days where you had metal garbage cans, remember? Sometimes the garbage men brought two garbage cans, they dumped them, and sometimes you had to bang the bottom of the garbage can, you know what I mean? This is before the fancy lifts. And there we watched the garbage men come down the street, and I sort of grew up in a nice suburb. And half the garbage men were white, and half the garbage men were African Americans, black. They came down our street, and we could see them working. We hear the noise of the garbage truck. And I still remember a young African-American man walked up to our porch and looked at my mother and said, "Could I have a glass of water, please?" My mother said, "Sure." She went to the house in the kitchen, threw some ice cubes in a large glass. In the meantime, he asked us our names, my brother and I, and what sports we liked. And there he drank the whole glass of water in front of us and said, "Thank you so much." It was an act of hospitality that I still remember today. A couple years ago, my wife and I vacationed in Ohio, and we brought our bikes with us to our in-laws, and we were biking around Ridge Road and Dahmersville Road, biking all around there, and an unexpected rain shower came up, and I said, "Lisa, we're going to get soaked." You know, it was like the one like last week, it just comes down. And as it began to rain, a farmer came by in his pickup, rolled down his window, and said, "Come into my barn." And there we set out the rainstorm. He offered, brought us bottles of water. He opened his house that we might be his what? His guest until the rain shower passed. My hope and prayer is for all of us that, as Luther says, let our homes be open to who? Exiles, weary travelers, those affected by the world, a place of refreshment. Be my guest. Be my guest. Let me show you hospitality and love. See, heartfelt response, hospitality. Read that for me, please. Let's read it together. Keep. Yeah. Was that young African-American man, was he an angel from heaven? I don't know. Other people come up to you in stores and ask you questions, or people in the community, they need your help. You've never seen before. Might they be angels? Could it be people who need our love and assistance that God sends us to that we might give them grace? Those are all questions that we answer by what? By saying, be my guest. Here's Christian hospitality. Here's love. A house of Abraham, a place of refreshment for the weary. Because, let's go back to Abraham. What did God and the angels say? "Sarah, why are you laughing? You'll give birth to a son. His name will be Isaac. And Isaac will give birth to Jacob. And from Jacob, the 12 tribes of Israel. And from them came the Christ child who lived and died and rose. And because of that, you and I, by Christ's death and resurrection, we're his guests here at his table, where he gives us his own body and blood. We have a house. This church is a hospital for you and I, sinners. Exiles to God due to our sin, be yet welcomed here by God's grace. And we're given the promise of heaven through Jesus Christ, his life and his death. An eternal banquet. God says, be my guest. It's on me. Jesus died and rose for you all. Be my guest. Here's my blessing. And likewise, our church, our home, be a place open for exiles and those in need that we might reflect Christ, who lived and died and rose for them too. So how about this? How about this for a closing thought? Lord, when did I see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and help you? And Jesus will reply, whatever you did to the least of these, you have done to who? Done to me. And all God's people say, amen.